So we are going to turn today to Matthew's gospel. Mark's gospel is very short and doesn't include this incident as fully as Matthew does. Matthew chapter 27, just two verses there, and then we jump right into chapter 28 where we have been. Matthew chapter 27, let us hear God's word. Matthew 27 verse 54. Our Savior had been crucified, and He just gave up His Spirit to the Father. Verse 54, now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, a very powerful term, among which was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children, that is Salome, mother of James and John. All right, let's go over to chapter 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake again. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake. These were well-trained Roman guards. They were shaking and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail! And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Amen. We end our reading there at verse 10. And we trust that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will bless this reading from his holy word to all our hearts today, for the name's sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is absolutely no record that any unkindness was done to Jesus Christ by any woman. All of the abuse and the cursing, the beatings, the spitting, the crucifying, the mockery, we're told it was men, even very religious men. But that's all they had, was some religion. Each of the gospel historians is very careful to mention several women that ministered to Christ and helped feed his apostles. That's what it means there in chapter 27, verse 55, that the women from Galilee were ministering. They were doing the same that the deacons were doing in Acts chapter 6, waiting on tables, making sure the people were fed. They were making sure Jesus' disciples were being fed. Not only was Christ lamented by a large crowd of women as he carried his cross out of the city of Jerusalem, but many women stayed looking at the cross from a distance until our Lord yielded up his spirit to the Father. Our scripture reading this morning tells us that at first the women were watching from afar off there in chapter 27. Surely because of the ugly mockery that the crowd was making toward Jesus, and the roughness of the soldiers kept the women afar off, until some of them edged their way through the crowd until they reached the foot of the cross. And there they stood, we are told, some later. Love will dare almost anything. On this Mother's Day, let us consider the service of these several godly ladies. I want to point out three things about these ladies. First of all, they were ministers of hospitality. That's what they were doing, ministering to Christ and his apostles, spending their money providing food for these men. Secondly, they were models of loyalty and love. And lastly, they were messengers of joy. So first of all, they were ministers of hospitality. We read it right there in verse 55. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, notice, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. There is the pointing out the emphasis of motherhood there. They had grown children, and thus they were at liberty to render more hospitality to others, since the kids were grown and gone. The blessed triune God is righteous and does not forget the work and labor of love which is shown toward his name by those that minister to the needs of his saints. Hebrews 6:10. The Lord is faithful to record the deeds of the weaker vessels. You know how God takes notice of the weak. He takes notice of the sickly. He takes notice of the children. He takes special notice of widows and orphans and women. So the deeds of these faithful women and mothers will not be forgotten by the Lord. He moved each of the writers of the four gospel histories to include the deeds of the ladies so that they would be remembered. And especially Matthew and Mark tell us this, that wherever the gospel is preached throughout the whole world, this that this woman had done in ministering to Christ, what she had done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Jesus said that, and Matthew and Mark both recorded it, that wherever the gospel would be preached in the world, that they would hear about that woman that broke that alabaster box, that anointed him, that wept and washed his feet and dried his feet with her hair. These ladies, I say, ministered hospitality. Secondly, they were models of loyalty and love. Where were the apostles as Christ marched out bearing his cross? Where were the 10 disciples as Jesus was nailed to the tree? Where were all the other apostles when Jesus was writhing on that cross in agony and uttering his 7 well-known cries from that cross? Where were they when he died and was taken to the tomb? I tell you where they were. John tells us in chapter 20 of John, verse 19, they were behind securely shut doors. That actually means barricaded doors for fear of the Jews. They were in a safe place. But the love of these ladies and mothers would not part company with Christ, no matter how dangerous, no matter what condition he was in. Their love and loyalty would not let them forget him. They were eager to know where he was, even after they had seen his body placed in that new tomb. While they obediently rested on the old Jewish Sabbath, their thoughts were still on Christ and on his welfare. And what were the apostles doing? They weren't doing that. They had given up hope. And they were weeping in disappointment and unbelief. It's over! Finally, these ladies that ministered hospitality and were models of loyalty became messengers of joy. And this is most of the message. So, we will note how they received the message and then how they relayed the message. The message was given to them first by the angel. And that same message was given to them by the Lord Jesus Christ. Because those holy angels, as they're called, elect angels, always carry the Lord's word faithfully. So first, due to their loyal serving hearts, they received the message. They were surprised when they got to the sepulcher. There the stone was already rolled away. That huge door that was in their way was out of the way. And they were surprised. But the angel's kind words to them, notice verse 5. The angel spoke very kind words. The angel answered and said unto the women. What did he answer? Were they showing some fear? What did he say first to them? Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. The angel spoke comforting words to them, kind words. And isn't it astonishing that the same means that the Lord used to terrify his adversaries was used to comfort his saints? The same angel that so messed up those soldier guards, they were shaking and they were no better sentinels than dead men. Yet the women were encouraged by the angel because they were seeking the Lord. So he said, fear not, don't be afraid. And he said to them some more. He said, come and see where the Lord lay. He's not here. He's risen. But you notice, come here and see the place where the Lord laid. And they looked. And they saw the lovely orderliness of the grave clothes. Their miraculous condition as Christ had simply left them, vanished out of them without messing them up. There they were, perfectly in place. The angel said, he is not here. That's something worth underlining. There's somewhere where the body of Jesus is not. It's not on earth now. The body of Jesus is on the throne. The whole Christ is there. But this is most interesting. So much for the doctrine of the ubiquity of Christ's body. That means there are many people on the face of the earth that believe that Christ's body, as well as his divine nature, are everywhere at the same time. Now Jesus is here. He is omnipresent. He is omniscient. He is here and he knows exactly what's going on in your heart at this moment. He sees you. He is here in the sense of his divine presence that fills the whole universe. You can't box God up. He sees in the darkness and everywhere, no matter what you're doing. He knows at all times. But as far as his body goes, his body can only be one place at a time. You think about those 40 days. He appeared at different places at different times, not at different places at the same time. Now, of course, Roman Catholicism and Lutheranism both teach that Christ's body is ubiquitous, that it's everywhere present at all times. That way Rome says that Christ's literal body and his blood are present in the Mass all over the earth at the same time. While Lutheranism confesses that Christ's literal flesh and blood are over, under, around the Holy Sacrament in consubstantiation. But such teaching is biblically wrong, but even more so. Not only biblically wrong, the angel very wisely uses an all-sufficient argument with the women, right there in verse 6. He said, come and see. What had he already said? He had already said, he is not here. Now, let's get the evidence from your five senses. Just walk in here and look. Come and see where the Lord lay. Okay? Just use reasonable senses. Reasonably trust your senses. He is not here. So in the Mass, the bread does not look like flesh. It does not taste like flesh. It does not smell like flesh because it is not flesh. Rather, the joyful tidings were right there. Christ was not there. So that was the joyful tidings. He's risen from the dead. Go and tell his disciples. Oh, what a message of joy. Here is real hope and salvation. Why were the women the first ones to see the risen Christ? For several biblical reasons. They were the first to see Christ. He said in Proverbs 8 and verse 17, those that seek me early shall find me. Well, they'd been seeking him early, very early. Jeremiah 29:13, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And believe me, those women, their heart was in it. Love was the key motivation. Hebrews 11 verse 6, he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Those women were certainly diligently seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is the reception of the message. So now we conclude with the relaying of the message. The angel commanded them to go quickly. Notice verse 8 of chapter 28 says that they departed quickly from the sepulcher after he told them that, and with great joy, with fear and great joy. Not with joy and great fear, but with fear and great joy. And did run to bring his disciples word. They ran, and they were, the king's business requires haste. They ran to tell his disciples. And what a pleasant surprise they were given. Do you know the Lord is much better than his promises? The Lord told, well, the angel told them, you go to Galilee, you're going to see him. And later, Jesus said, tell him I'm going to Galilee. But that same evening, where was Jesus? He appeared in the room where the apostles were. Didn't have to go to Galilee yet. Okay, you're going to see him there. Yeah. 40 days, you're going to be seeing him for 40 days. So, the Lord is better even than his promises. It's said through the angel, the Lord will see you in Galilee. You'll see him. Well, he met them right on the road as they were going. What a pleasant surprise. They didn't have to wait until they got to Galilee. As they ran in the path of duty, behold, Jesus met them. And I tell you what, the Lord does that very often. The Lord will meet you in the path of duty. And when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing before the Lord, you'll sense the Lord's blessing. You'll sense his presence. And he's looking with a smile on you. So because they were in the path of duty, the Lord met them in the path of duty. He greeted them with a blessing. He said, all hail. Now that basically is It's the Greek verb kairo, and it's like greetings, hello, blessings upon you. So he greeted them with blessings and joy and peace. He said, be not afraid. Of course, what did the women do? Just like Mary Magdalene did at the garden tomb. Instantly bowed down to worship him. And what were these women doing? Same thing. Look there what they did. And in verse 9, well, they met Jesus and they came and held him by the feet. We got you there. You're not going anywhere. We're not going to let you go. But the Lord told them, go. We got to go. You go tell them. Go tell the apostles. So they were clinging to his feet in love and reverence. Immediately Christ recommissioned them to go tell my brethren. And Mark tells us that when the apostles heard the women's good news, that Christ was risen and that they had seen him, they believed not. Well, Luke tells us that the report by the women seemed to the apostles as idle tales. You women, that's just y'all get your emotions run away with you. Well, we would hope that the unbelieving apostles later apologized to these godly, faithful, true women and mothers for delivering the true message to them. Dr. Guy Prentice Waters gives us a list of several modern Bible commentators that are reputed as scholars. Yet sadly, these several arrogant men say that women are gullible and more easily deceived than men are. That's arrogant. Now, implying that there was a particular defect made into women by the hands of their Creator. Obviously, our scriptures right here demonstrate that the women were pursuing a wiser course of action than the men were. Quite often, women and mothers have proven themselves to not only be more courageous, but also more sagacious than men have been. Take the case of Deborah in the book of Judges, that mother in Israel. She did certainly better than Barak. And Jael in the fourth chapter of Judges. Queen Esther. Think of the wisdom and the grace and the courage of these women. And think of these women that followed Christ. They were more courageous and wiser than the men. Although the cause of Christ seemed to the apostles to be dead and buried, yet these women and mothers lovingly were still clinging to him. How about you? When truth is fallen in the streets, or is even buried, and when the truth is marginalized by the leaders of our nation and our states, do you still believe God? And do you look forward to His great power in reviving and revitalizing His cause and His church? His promises are true. As we see right in this portion, the Lord is even better than His promises are. It is no accident that the Lord began a stirring, a reviving, and a return to the old, tried and true doctrine in the middle of the last century. In the middle of the last century, the Lord began a movement in America. It is no accident that the old Reformed Bible doctrine is again working as a leaven throughout the whole earth. Reverend Charles Spurgeon prophesied this day. You know, Brother Spurgeon went to be with the Lord in 1892. That was almost the 20th century. And Spurgeon said, before many years, He said, many brave hearts will fetch the old doctrines by the help of God and will bring them forth to the whole world again in the bright beams of a gracious and glorious light. And hasn't that been done? Many of us can testify that our lives have been changed because of that. Because of the recovery that began in the middle of the last century. And we believe that what the Lord has begun, He will perfect all the way to the day of Jesus Christ. So mothers, let us be hopeful and joyful today because the promises of God are true and the Lord is even better than His promises. Let us pray together. O God, we do thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for the example of these several godly ladies. We thank Thee for giving them courage, giving them wisdom beyond what the men were showing. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt cause each of us to be faithful unto Thee. Bless Thy Word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.